number 6. And here's what the Word of God says. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge. And sometimes we have to get motivated to do that. Other times we should learn that this is a practice that we should implement on a day-to-day basis, that we flee to him for refuge. We can have great confidence as we hold to what? The hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. And then in the book of Luke, chapter 8, Jesus one day said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and they started out. And as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. You see, that lake exists kind of like we do in a valley. And so the winds from the north can come very quickly right through that valley out under that lake. And if they're bringing a storm with them, it gets pretty severe out there on that water. The boat was filling with water. That's not a good sign, is it? And they were in real danger. And the disciples went and woke him up shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. The storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him." Father, thank you for truth. And as I've looked at it, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I want to bring a message of hope to you this morning, and continuing what I started last Sunday, because the hope that we have in the Lord, we could turn a crisis into a turning point. And every single time we come to this point in life where we're in crisis, we have opportunity to see what better things God has for us. For instance, God told the children of Israel to cross over the Jordan River and possess the land that he had promised them. It's amazing, God said, "I have already given you the things that you're believing for. I've already taken care of those, but you're going to have to go after them and follow after me in faith." In other words, this is a fight of faith. There's going to be struggle in this. And when you're believing God, for instance, for your children to serve him, you're in a fight of faith. You have to trust God to help you rebuild when it seems like everything's been burned to the ground. You're using your faith. You're standing on the word of God to acquire what you're believing for. All of God's promises are for his children, but you have to fight the good fight of faith to acquire them. You have to fight the fight of faith for a recovery. If you need healing in your body, God's provided you the answer down the road of health because he said, "I've taken that upon my body." And it's amazing because we don't always feel restored, but faith stands on God's promises. In the spiritual, you come into agreement with what God already decreed. And standing your ground, Paul said, when you've done everything else, everything you know to do, stand. It's not an easy thing to do. "Well, God, I'm believing you for restoration." And the opposite seems to be taking place. It's not an easy thing to grab hold of faith rather than let your emotions overwhelm you. But you stand your ground and you stand on the word because that, in essence, after all is said and done, is what we really have to stand on, all we have to stand on. Anytime you decide to really believe God for one of his promises, great battles are going to come your way because it's always a faith battle. God said a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. In other words, if you're a good man, you're going to work hard. You'll make some provision. You'll have inheritance to leave your children. In many cases, it may not just be overwhelming material wealth you leave them, but you can leave blessing for your lineage in the way that you have lived your life as well. If you're not careful, you can die having spent all. and even be spiritually broke. So you've got to plan ahead. You've got to work hard. And always remember, it's not about me. It's about what comes after me and who comes after me. And you use your faith in the Lord because it is a faith fight. Maybe grandpa was broke or daddy was broke, but God says, not for you. You're stepping into your promised land, stepping into promises. And God said, you're not going to be displaced forever. So you apply the word of God on a single day, every single day. You're saying, I'm a tither. I'm putting God first. If you're not a tither, you don't have a right to say this, but if you're a tither, you have the right to say, wait a minute, God promised to open the windows of heaven on my life and to pour out blessings that will overflow in my life. I can stand on that when I've been putting God first, and God will take care of us. He always has. God delights in the prosperity of his servants. How many here are servants of the Lord? God delights in our blessing. So we're in process on this journey. I'm on a journey, and I'm going to have everything God promised me, even the difficulties that come my way. God tells us his promises are sure, and they're for us. He tells us we have to fight the fight of faith before we see the answers. But the enemy's plan is for us to get so discouraged in these battles that we literally throw in the towel. You happen to have seen that in boxing matches. The corner, those that kind of manage and train you, they see the inevitable loss, and it seems like you're getting hurt and losing terribly. You're in danger of permanent injury. So the corner decides, I'm going to throw in the towel on your behalf to protect you. And they're thrown into the center of the ring, symbolizing surrender. No mas. No more. I can't take any more. And when you go through enough in life, you might feel like you've come to the point of throwing in the towel. And you're thinking, wait a minute, I can't take another day of this. I've gone through enough. Does anybody here know what I'm preaching about this morning? The enemy's plan is to get you to quit and to throw in the towel. Because he knows the moment you quit is when your faith gets neutralized. And once your faith stops working, you're defeated. His plan is to frustrate you. And if he can frustrate you enough, you're going to go back to the place that God delivered you out of. If you get frustrated enough, you'll return to an old lifestyle that God delivered you from. See, the enemy's plan is to make you think you can't make it. To plant enough doubt in the process of your intellect and your emotions that you can't succeed. But you need to know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You may be going through something today, but before it's over, God will turn it for your good. And what you don't see is God is always in the process of orchestrating his perfect plan and destiny for you. When you're going through all the struggles, when you're attempting to reach a goal or a victory, it's inevitable. A storm always seems to blow into our lives. And what you don't see is God is there strengthening you in this process, also developing your testimony, because you're not going to have a testimony without a test. And your faith isn't faith until it's tested. Because anybody can say, I've got faith. Let me hear you say it when all of a sudden you're in a struggle. The word says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God allows us to go through the furnace of affliction to build our faith, to allow our faith to be tested. Now, I hate furnace afflictions, but God allows us these crises to reveal how big he is, how great and strong he is. And that, in turn, strengthens us to reveal in us what it is we truly believe, to pull that out of us. I know we don't like the struggle, but struggles teach us to trust in the Lord and not in ourselves. The struggles teach us that in due season, we will reap a harvest if we don't grow weary, if we don't quit. I wish I had a church that knew what I was talking about this morning, right? Amen. When God's working in your life, there'll be times you're going to be tested. When God's working in your life, you're going to have to go through some storms. Crises will come, but crisis will pass. Say, the crisis will pass. It will. You're being stretched. It feels like you're about to break. Adversity tests the quality of our faith. It's the refiner's fire that burns off the impurity so that we can maximize our potential. A rubber band is not effective until it's stretched. The kettle on the fire sings when it's up to its neck in hot water, right? You're going to always win if you put your faith in God and refuse to quit. So we attempt to find something or somebody where we can anchor ourselves in a storm. It's all part of the test. I have to anchor myself to something that will hold me when the storm is blazing. When the storm blows, you're going to have to be anchored and hold on, because storms will blow into our lives. Someone will walk out of your life. Someone will leave you alone. Someone, your 401k is not going to work out like you planned. It's a normal day. The wind picks up. A spark ignites, and your home is gone in a flash. And we better be anchored to something that gets us through that storm, that will hold us when the tide rises against us. The anchor is the one thing that holds us stationary. The anchor is what we're tied to, so we're not taken out by the wind and the waves. So I'm speaking of anchoring yourselves to the word of the Lord. I'm speaking of anchoring yourself to Jesus Christ, because he is the rock of ages. He is unmovable. He is the Ancient of Days. He always was. He always will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the foundation we build on. And God wants us to grow to the point where we won't quit. He wants us to grow to the point where we say, I have anchored my soul, I've anchored my faith, and I'm trusting the Lord in the one that no matter what I go through, he will remain faithful. God promised to make all my enemies my footstool. And if we just remain anchored long enough, God will make that depression you're feeling your footstool. We've got some enemies in our lives, but what are you anchored to today? When that sickness came to destroy you, you'd better be anchored to the one who can hold you. When you're going through hell and high water, you better be anchored to the one who can hold you. No matter now that you say you love the Lord, now that in fact that you do, you have to know that all things are going to work together for our good. And since you're living your life for the Lord, living for his purpose, you have to believe your steps are being ordered by him. Now, I know the devil will tell you your life is over. I know the enemy will say, you're done. Everything you live for is finished. You feel like you can't get up. You've been knocked to the ground, lost everything. I'm here to tell you that devil is a liar. You can get back up. Tell somebody, you can get up. And how many know that we who love the Lord get put on what's called the potter's wheel because we're clay? And he refers to himself as the potter. And that wheel is spinning. And man, it's dizzying some days, but he's teaching us and he's cleaning us up and he's picking out the imperfections as that wheel is spinning. And you may not like it, but after he's spun you around a while, then he puts you in the oven in the fire, but the fire is working for our good. In every crisis, I am learning something. No matter what the crisis, listen, every one of us or get ourselves into crisis, we're going to learn to trust the Lord. And if we don't, we're going to be untethered. We're just going to drift. In every crisis, we learn. And you may be going through something today. You may have family that's in the middle of a crisis. Things may look worse than ever. You can't see beyond the moment. And they may have more questions than answers. But since the greater one lives in us, you need to know that you can take it. Amen? It's not because of me. It's because of whom I'm anchored to. He can keep me in a struggle. He can keep me in the storm. He can keep me standing even when all the foul winds have blown everything out of my life. I'm anchored to the one who can get me through whatever it is I have to go through. And the word says, Jesus fell asleep in the boat as they traveled across the lake as a storm was rising. And it was so bad that the ship was filling with water. May I say that storms don't bother Jesus? It's good to know, isn't it? Trials bother us, but they don't bother Jesus. And now that you belong to the Lord, neither does he want you to get all upset and come unglued because you're facing a storm. Just know he is with you, and if he's with you, you're going to be all right. The boat is not going to go under as long as he's on board because he's with you. This storm shall pass. The crisis shall go away. The word says he fell asleep. The storm arises. You know, you can go to sleep when he's on board the boat with you. Now, I said this for the benefit last Sunday night of Sam Ward's granddaughter. I wanted you to hear this. And I'll say it again for your benefit. I remember listening to him because I took class with him. Say, who's Sam Ward? Sam Ward had a coast-to-coast radio program every Sunday night. ABC Network. It wasn't a Christian network. It was one of the alphabet networks. And it's coast-to-coast, the most listened-to radio program in the nation on Sunday nights. And I remember he was teaching from a passage about the God of Israel who never slumbers or sleeps. And then he looked out at the audience and he said these words. I never forgot them. He said, I always tell God when I have a crisis. He said, since you never slumber or sleep, and since you're not going to go to sleep at all tonight, you're going to be awake taking care of me. I'm going to go ahead and go to sleep and just leave it in your hands because there's no need for both of us to stay awake since you've got this, right? Exactly. Don't allow the storm to steal your peace. If you're being tossed around by the crisis in your life, all God wants you to do is remember, you're on board with me. You're not going to abandon me. So we quit worrying about the crisis and we anchor ourselves to him. I want to hang on to him. People will fail you. He won't fail you. Money will fail you. He'll never fail you. So don't be surprised, Peter said, at the fiery ordeals that come upon you. It's all part of the growth process. Nothing but a test. But God gets glory out of it when it's all over. And we are grown by it and stretched by it and developed by it. And the word says that in these last days, times will grow worse. My goodness, some of the things we're listening to and reading about. In other words, when we're going through something, just know if we've anchored to him, no matter how difficult it gets, the upheavals, it doesn't matter what the terrorists have plotted against us. When I say it doesn't matter, I mean God has already foreseen this and planned for this. One of the top terror organizations' representatives said about 3 days ago, in two years, we are going to subjugate the United States of America to us. And we are going to rid this country of its Christianity. Speaking of us, I don't think they know us very well. Okay? No matter what government agencies try to do at times, I'm telling you, no matter how bad things get, anchor yourself to the one who is immovable. He never changes. And let me say, convict Cleo is not your answer. Religion is not your answer. Praying to a dead saint is not your answer. Anchor yourself to the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever lives on our behalf to make intercession for us. He'll see you through it no matter what you're going through. So make no mistake, the storm arose to kill you because the adversary is looking to find a way to kill, to steal from you, and to destroy you. The storm comes to take you out. The storm wants to take away your faith. But when Jesus is the anchor of your life, when he's the Lord of your life, there is no storm big enough that can destroy you. Just know the devil cannot win in the long run. He's not a long-distance fighter. He's a short-term boxer. That's all he is. He quits before you get to the third round. If you can outlast him in a battle. So what do we do when we're in a storm? We anchor ourselves to the Lord. What do we do in a crisis? We anchor ourselves to the great I am. And what does I am mean when God calls himself I am? It means I'm everything you need. I can do anything in your life. I am the resurrection and the life. You may be walking on a hard road today. Maybe the bottom seems to be falling out. Maybe it looks like you can't make it. Let me tell you today, you are stronger than you think in the Lord. I'm here to say it's going to work for your benefit. When you hit that crisis and that turning point in your life, if you'll go with Jesus, he'll take you places you never dreamed that are better than where you've been. Your crisis is going to pass. Keep the peace of God in your heart. Don't allow the peace that God gives you to be stripped from you. The crisis shall pass. I said the crisis shall pass. Storms don't last for always. So whatever you're going through today, at some point, it's going to begin to turn around. That's that pivot point that God takes you to turn it for the good. But don't let the crisis tear you away from God's destiny, because everything is subject to change when we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't even begin to tell you the miracles that we're hearing about over the last few days and weeks in the lives of people. The answers to prayer, the way God has sustained people in the middle of difficulty, the ways in which he sent people to knock on the windows of others who were basically hedged in by flames and showing them a way out. It's just amazing to watch the miracles of God. Everything is subject to change, no matter how bad it looks. He's the God of the impossible. When there's a mountain in the way, God has ways of getting you either over it, through it, or around it. God is the God who moves the mountains, because my hand is in the hand of the one that matters. I have my hand in the hand of the master. He's the one who spoke peace to a raging sea. He hung the world on nothing. I'm anchored to the Lord himself. And Jesus appears to his disciples after the resurrection. You remember? And he walks into the room where they're gathered in fear, and the doors and windows were locked and secured. Though everything was secured, everything was locked. He doesn't need an open door. He is the door. Everything is subject to change when he shows up. So no matter how impossible it looks, so it looks like there's no way that God can intervene in this, like nothing can get in to rescue me. I'm telling you, he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need a door to come through. He is the door. Listen, Jesus appeared and things begin to change in their hearts. Things will begin to change in your life if you'll grab hold of the master. He'll become more real to you than an appendage on your body, becomes more real to you than something temporal or tangible. And about the time you think you've got God all figured out, how many know he will always do something a different way just about the time we think we've got him figured out and how he's going to fix it? I can tell you that from decades of walking with him. He'll mess up your formula every single time. And let me tell you why formulas don't work. Formulas don't work because God doesn't want you living by a formula. God doesn't want you living by A, B, C, and D. God wants you standing on his word and walking by faith, not by formula. And you're not going to figure God out with just intellect. You have to figure him out with your spirit man. You say, Lord, I give myself to you. I surrender myself to you. You're the Lord of everything. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I remember when I was in high school, they introduced the theory of evolution to us. And I began to say in my heart, well, I still believe there's a God, and this God has created all of this. And I believe this God that I serve can do anything. If he can hang the world in the middle of space, there's nothing impossible for him. And who can figure out how God came into existence. You know, and they battled back and forth between the Bible version of creation and the evolutionary theories of creation. And then this past week, isn't this interesting? A very provocative study by our United States scientists looking at the DNA of the human race in collaboration with the Swiss scientists. They made an astonishing discovery just recently that all humans alive today are the offspring of a common father and mother. Interesting, isn't it? Wow. All I had to do is go back to Genesis, the third chapter, and I discovered that. It was... Wow. You see, the further they dig into human DNA and the origins of our being, the more they're discovering, you know, we all came from one set of parents who walked the planet just a few thousand years ago. And by evolutionary, I'm quoting this, evolutionary standards is like yesterday, okay? They came into existence. Moreover, they said, their discovery after checking into the DNA, the same is true in 9 out of 10 animal species, meaning that nearly all Earth's creatures living today sprang into being recently from some seminal Big Bang event. Well, I can tell you what the Big Bang event is too. We can go right back there and it's right there. It's all recorded for everybody. How God just kind of put it all together and by his authority and his creative ability brought us all into existence. You see, when your heart says, God, I can't figure you out, but if you are who you say you are, would you please come into my life and change the direction of where I'm going? And by faith, I said, that's what I want to do, because it says in the book, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe exactly what you said and what you did is exactly the way you said it. And God then moved into my life, and he'll move into your life the same way by a simple act of faith, an expression of faith. And no matter how you want to argue the details of creation or how God works in the affairs of men and women, understand this. You can't argue with a transformed life. I can tell you what he did in my life. Many of you can tell us what he did in your life, how he changed you from darkness to light, brought you out of a pit of despair into the glorious truth of a new life in Christ, and you can't argue with those facts. What I'm saying to you is this, you can't figure God out with your head. You can't figure him out with your intellect. Our minds are too finite, no matter how high our IQ. Finite is just another nice word for tiny compared to his. You can't figure him out. God wants us to be totally dependent on him. God, I'm anchored to you. He's my creator. He knows everything about my being. And God, I'm anchored to you. I want to be dependent. And God wants us to come to the end of our own selves, whereby we're thinking, I can do whatever. I'm great at what I do. I'm the best in my field. You know, I'm unstoppable by myself. He wants us to come to the end of that arrogance and come to the place where we say, you know what? I really need your assistance. And you know, everybody's going to come to a place in life someday where you've exhausted all your human resources and there's only one you're going to be able to turn to, and that's our God. Until we say, God, I surrender, until we arrive at that point, God can do very little in our lives, although he's still good to us and still takes care of us, amen? But just because God brought you money a certain way last month doesn't mean he's going to bring it to you again the same way this month. God doesn't want you just checking out, you know, some kind of a formula where you can add it all up on paper, because the way you look at God's work is like tithing. You know, you look at your budget, you look at your income, you look at your expenses, and you go, this won't add up. If I give God 10% of this, then there's not going to be enough to take care of this. So on paper, the intellect says, doesn't work. I can tell you, all of our lives, all of our married lives, all of our lives before we met each other, when we learned to put God first what didn't add up on paper always ended up benefiting us at the end of the week and at the end of the month. God made it up to us. That's called faith. Mm-hmm. God doesn't want us looking to people. He wants us to look to Him. You'll never figure God out in you, in our humanity, in our finite ways. You see, one day, God will have a white man lay hands on you to be healed. The next day, He'll have a black man lay hands on you to be healed. Or a Latino to lay hands on you and you'll be healed. Maybe a female will lay hands on you and you'll be healed. He'll have a Baptist pray for you and you'll get well. Then it'll be a charismatic and you'll receive a miracle. But I'm telling you, quit putting God in a box. God has ways of bringing you answers and deliverances that you never thought about. I could never figure out how God put all the pieces together a year ago when I had to deal with something that I never expected to have to deal with. And it wasn't humanly possible to assemble all the pieces of the puzzle. God did it. God has His own way of bringing a miracle to you. And He's so big, He'll even use your enemies to bless you. People who don't even know you are going to say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but God's ways are higher than man's ways. Amen. God said, look, no matter how powerful the king or the president of a country, God says every one of their hearts, they're like channels of water in My hands. In other words, God can take that person you're working for and guide that person to bless you and to favor you, even if they don't know a whole lot about you. Make no mistake, the enemy has a plan to take you down, but for every plan he has to take you down, God has two plans to bring you up. He may not show up when you want Him to, but God's always on time. How many know that God almost always waits until the last minute? Man, it's always 11:59. He could show up at 9 or 10, right? But it's always 11:59. Anybody know what I'm talking about? As long as I'm anchored to Him, no matter if it's 9 or 10 or 11:59, as long as I'm anchored to Him, I'm going to make it through no matter what. Every time the enemy does something to hurt me, listen, I have to make up my mind, I'm not going to take this lying down. I'm not going to let my emotions rule me. I'm going to let Your word rule me. If the enemy does something to hurt you, go win somebody to Jesus. Listen to what I'm saying to you. If he does something to hurt you, join our worship team and sing your brains out. If the devil uses something to hurt you, give God an extra offering for Convoy of Hope to get deliver some of the goods that they're delivering throughout the North State. And say when you put it in the offering bag, in your face, devil, in your face. You've got to fight back. You can't allow the enemy to walk all over you. And some people say, well, if God really loved me, I wouldn't have this trouble. Every once in a while, God will allow trouble to come into our lives to get our attention. Every once in a while, we have to find out what we believe in. The crisis is going to pass. When everything's falling apart, you remind yourself, this is not going to last forever. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. He's still in control. He made the world. He sustains it. He's in control of it. He's got all by Himself. And when the pressures of the world are about to crush you, you have to remember there's a place of peace when you know Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. When I'm anchored to Him, I can make it. When you feel you're about to lose your mind in the circumstance, you hold fast to the Lord. And you can love the Lord and still have trouble in your life. You can be serving Him and have crisis in your life. The bottom can fall out of your life while you're serving God. Mary and Martha loved their brother Lazarus, and he died of an illness. Several days have gone by. They asked Jesus. He was not living in the area or staying in the area at the time. They sent messengers to find him, to tell him, come pray for your friend Lazarus. And Jesus didn't come. And Lazarus died. And they were perplexed. And we're serving God. We're honoring Christ when he comes to Bethany. We take care of him and we house him. And he didn't even show up. By the time Jesus does show up, it says he intentionally did not go. By the time he shows up, Lazarus now is dead and buried. And nobody can understand why this circumstance was allowed to go the way it went until Jesus begins to pray to the Father and said, God, Father, you've allowed this so that these can see your glory. God is working his plan when we don't see it. Tell your neighbor God has a plan. He's never caught off guard, no matter where we are. And you remember, he raised Lazarus from the tomb and displayed the power of Almighty God to change circumstances, even when in humanity there was no reasonable way this could ever be fixed. We all have times in our lives when we question why. Where is God? Why do I have to go through this? We have more questions than answers. We have to be anchored to the Lord. I learned a long time ago not to tell God what to do, because we're all tempted to do that, right? You know, you try to command him in Jesus' name. You need to do this right now. And you're still trying to do that, but oftentimes he'll make us wait. Does anybody know what I'm speaking about? I mean, you know, I think I'm a nice guy. I can't believe I've had to go through some of the things I've had to go through. Anybody relate to that? Seems like, did you forget about me? I've had the enemy come against me to destroy me, and he's always looking for an angle to take us out, always looking for some way to rattle our faith. I'm telling you, if you're anchored to the Lord, you're going to make it through the storm. So the devil gave me his best shot, and I'm still here preaching. I could have walked away. I'm still here. I'm still preaching. You know, you could be going through hell itself, but you're going to be able to walk with God's help through it. You go through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't park there and wait. See, you keep going when you're in a valley. What do I do when I'm in the middle of hell? You keep moving. It's proof that God is moving on your behalf because you're anchored to him. So Peter gets out of the boat and he begins to walk on water. He was in the middle of a miracle as this storm was brewing on the lake. But the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the serious size of these waves, he began to sink. So we learn from our failures. Every failure is a learning experience. When you're in a storm, learn. Instead of asking God, why? Here's what I've learned to ask. What do you want me to learn? I may not know why in this world, but here's what I will know. What do I need to learn in this? Where do I need to grow in this? What needs to change in me while I'm experiencing this? We must learn from our failures. It's a learning experience. Learn. We get our eyes back on the Lord. We get our eyes off of the waves. And don't be afraid. It's just wind. If you're going through something, don't panic. The crisis will end. There are times in our lives we don't understand. Why? Why am I going through this? No. What do I need to learn through this? There are times we can't figure it all out. Sometimes we walk by faith, not by sight, right? But in the crisis, faith says it'll pass. So no matter who we are, trouble comes to all of us. Unlike the person who has no trust in God, was walking past the Salvation Army representative yesterday, as he was standing there ringing his bell, asking for donations to help needy people to make a difference. And a man walked up to him and said, I'm not going to give you anything. I'm not a Christian, so I won't support anything you do. And I thought, wow. That's a hopeless guy. I said, Lord, reveal yourself to him. Show him who you are. Blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord. I'm blessed because my hope is in the Lord. I'll read it to you. Joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. As long as I'm anchored to the Lord, I'll be all right. I might understand, but I do know the one who holds my hand also holds my future in his hands. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. And if you're between a rock and a hard place, listen to me, don't let it get you down. Don't get so discouraged you want to quit. It's okay to feel discouragement. It's okay to feel resentment. It's okay to feel flustered and angered, but don't allow it to manifest to the point where you just throw in the towel. You're going to get through it. Your trouble's temporary. He's our refuge and our strength. This is going to pass. Amen? Don't give up. And whatever you do, understand God's got a plan in it. And even though in your mind I'm on a ship that's sinking, no, it's never over, as Yogi said, until it's over. And even if the bottom falls out, know that God will work the plan in your life as long as you're anchored to the rock. The devil will sneak up on you and say, I'm winning and you're losing. He'll tell you it's not any use you going any further in this walk of yours with God. He'll say to you, God has forgotten all about you, but you need to wheel around at him and say, you are a liar. Every time you speak, you lie. And now that we're walking with the Lord, know because of him, you're stronger than you think, that you're more than conqueror through Christ, that my God loves us, and you're a fighter, and you can take it, because greater is he who lives in you than he who lives in the world. And there's a season of testing, and then there's a season for God to bring you out of the test. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. He delivers the righteous out of every affliction. So even when you're in the furnace of affliction, God brings you out. When you love the Lord, no trouble won't last. And your test will turn into a testimonial. So you just lay hands on yourself and say, I'm coming out of this thing. I'm coming out of this thing. God will turn your mess into a message, your misery into a ministry. No matter what you're dealing with before it's over, he'll turn the tragedy into a triumph. He'll turn your tribulation into tranquility. And God will get all the glory. And you'll be surprised after you've come through the trial and you've passed the test, how many people God will send your way who are now also in a trial similar to yours. You see, it wasn't just about delivering you or me out of our tests. It's about all the other people he loves and cares about who need to know him. And he'll send them to intersect your life in a crisis like you had. And you'll be able to say, hey, I understand that. Let me tell you what happened when I went through that kind of a crisis. You may fight some giants, but God says you're in a fixed fight. You know what a fixed fight is? When it was safe to watch the WWF, now the WWE, when I say it was safe, it wasn't, well, that's a whole nother story. But we all know it's a fixed match. No, sorry. I'll probably get sued for this. It's a fixed match. You have the Word of God in your heart. And if you're living right and you're anchored to the Rock of Ages, you're in a fixed fight. You can go through hell as long as you know I'm anchored to him. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you saying? Are you complaining? Are you like the little boy who hardly ever spoke, never spoke? Until one day his mother fixed a new kind of soup and put it in front of him. No matter how many tests they did, the doctors couldn't figure out why he couldn't speak. And then they put the bowl of soup in front of him one day. It was a new recipe she tried. And he took a spoonful and he stopped and he said, I'm not going to eat this. This is awful. And his parents rejoiced because the kid's talking, right? He's like, And the dad said, finally, so why, if you could speak, why is this the first time you spoke? He said, because everything up till now was okay. So some people, the only time they speak is when they got something to complain about. They just went, rah, 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 rah. Listen, you have power in the way you speak. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. No matter what we're going through, God's still benefiting us. None of this poor old me stuff. I don't know why God's not helping me. You better button it up and start saying, this crisis shall pass. I'm coming out of this. Devil, you're a liar. I can get through this because I know in whom I have believed. I can walk through hell because I know he loves me and he's bigger than my problem. I've got my hand in his hand. You take your neighbor by the hand on that seat, hold it in the air and say, we have hold of his hand. We have hold of his hand. And I'll diligently obey the Lord because he's promised to bless me. No devil can curse what God has blessed. And because I'm blessed, I can weather any storm. You're going through something today because you've got to be going somewhere in your life. The devil never messes with somebody, listen, unless they're going somewhere, unless you've got purpose. And after the hell I've been through, I must be going somewhere. That's what you need to tell the devil. Hey, I'm going somewhere. When you're walking with Jesus, you're going somewhere. When he was on the cross, it looked like it was over. It was the bloodiest, most gruesome scene any human could ever lay their eyes on. But it was only Friday. Sunday morning was coming. My God is the God of resurrection and life. And if you keep your heart right, God has a way of making it up to you. That takes a little faith. You stand on God's word. You anchor yourself. And the devil will tell you to run and to quit and to walk away. And God's word says, no, you stand on my word. Amen. It's the word that God gave Moses, as you stand with me right now. It's the word that God gave Moses when they were surrounded by mountains and facing an ocean, and all of Egypt's best warriors were bearing down on them. And the people were rattled because it looked like this is going to end badly. And he stood there and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Having done all, stand. Some things you're never going to figure out, and other things you just have to give them to God. Let's pray.